Hey guys, welcome back to Interview Thursday here on the Big Red Express. That's right, we got Jason Fernandez coming up once again. He has been on the podcast tons of times. We'd love to have him on. He is a CrossFit Level 1 seminar staff coach. He works for CrossFit headquarters. He goes to the games and judges. He does so much within CrossFit, and it was a great conversation that we are excited to bring to you. We talk about regionals, the programming side, and of course, you can't talk about regionals until we... unless we get his opinions on all the programming and, of course, the pec injuries that have been happening the last 3 weeks at regional. So we talk about all that and so much more. But first, guys, go check us out on Facebook. It's called The Big Red Express. That's all you need to know. Just go type in The Big Red Express. If you haven't done so already, go subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. All you got to do is go to the iTunes podcast app, type in The Big Red Express, and click subscribe. You get every single episode directly to your device for absolutely no charge. It's for free for you guys every single time we release an episode. It's the game season. We're going to have tons and tons of interviews coming up. Alex Smith, Ben Smith. We got Travis Williams on the docket. We got Ryan Elrod on the docket, and much, much more already set in stone that are going to be coming up until from now until the CrossFit Games. So you guys are not going to want to miss any one of those episodes, and they'll all happen on Thursdays. That's right. Interview Thursday is where we are going to release every single one of those exclusive interviews with the CrossFit's biggest and brightest in what the future holds. So you guys will not want to miss out. Go check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, iTunes podcast. We're on Stitcher Radio. Tune in and so much more, guys. If you guys can find anywhere to get a podcast, we are there. But all right, enough of me talking. Here's my conversation with Jason Fernandez from CrossFit Rife. Enjoy. Hey guys, welcome back to the Big Red Express. Sitting in the front lobby of CrossFit Rife with my good friend Jason Fernandez. Fern, what's going on? How you been?
Good, man. Just busy. You know, it's game season, so tracking everybody on the leaderboard during the weekends. And, you know, it was cool to watch regionals. I didn't get to see all of it because I was working. But, yeah, things are going well.
You talk about the games, man. What a regionals it was. It was definitely all over the place. We'll get to probably the hottest topic of the games in a little bit. But talk about the programming, how you thought programming was. No barbells for the first time, I think, ever in any really certified CrossFit competition. Talk to us about your thoughts on the no barbells and using a lot of kind of objects that we really haven't seen before.
I know. If you even keep a decent eye on CrossFit.com, none of that stuff was surprising.
Right.
If you go back 6 months from when they announced the workouts for regionals, you're going to find an uptick in dumbbell use on CrossFit.com. You're going to find multiple articles on people that are not using dumbbells. You're going to find videos of Coach Glassman talking about people should be using more dumbbells. Do I think anybody saw that it was going to be just all dumbbells? No, but that's kind of the beauty of the whole thing, and what Dave is really kind of masterful at is just kind of figuring out what people are not doing and exposing that. I mean, he said it multiple times. The games in the open is not to highlight the athletes. It's to test the athletes.
For sure.
Now, people don't like it, and you could argue that maybe it's not as fun to watch somebody move a dumbbell as it is to move a barbell, but that doesn't mean that the tests were not legit.
Yeah, I think it was the opposite. I think it kind of... You kind of say it's not as exciting. I thought it was very exciting to watch regionals this year. I mean, obviously, we had six people from CrossFit Krypton go, and you know, obviously, Alec and Ben both qualified for the games. But you know, it was really cool just to see, you know, the same athletes really up on top of that leaderboard, because I think a lot of people saw that coming into this regional or coming into the regional weekends over the last 3 weeks. You would see a lot of different people up on top of that leaderboard because you didn't have a barbell. And I think probably one of the biggest things that popped out to me a couple weeks ago was Elijah Muhammad, because everyone knows he's very good at the Olympic lifts. He's very good with the barbell.
The barbell is his jam.
And, you know, I mean, he's good, obviously. Everything qualified for the games a couple of years ago. But, you know, for the most part, he's one of those guys that he shines on the barbell. But he obviously worked on his weaknesses, worked, you know, the last couple of years, didn't qualify last year, but, you know, was able to kind of get back into it and things like that and qualify this year, you know, in a new region and things like that. So it was very cool to see athletes that you maybe didn't think were going to do as well still get up there on the top of the leaderboard. And that kind of shows you just kind of what CrossFit is.
Yeah, I think if you look at the programming over the years, and everybody loves to geek out on programming.
Yeah.
And because it's not cool to just kind of hang your hat on the statement like the fittest are going to make it. But if you look at the number of tasks over the course of the years, and I mean, at this point, this is year 11, you know, but we'll really call the mature years of the games, like the past 6 years, mm-hmm. the fittest athletes are going to make it. And that's why you don't see these huge shuffles in regions of people making it to, you know, there's never like this complete changing of the guard
right.
of athletes going to front, you know, going from regionals to the games. Like there's always some onesie twosies, but if you yeah. look at the top 10, there's a lot of names in there that
True.
Everybody recognizes.
Yeah.
And at this point you could consider it a real sport, like a legit real sport, because now there's a lot of those people that are namestays or mainstays in the sport that are like on the cusp. And I think that legitimizes like the growth of the sport and the overall elevation of the athletes worldwide, is that there were some people, you know, probably 6 or 7 years ago where like, you're going to see the same names every year.
For sure.
Where now you may still see those names, but it's not a given anymore. Mm-hmm. If they have a bad day, they're going to get bumped out.
Right.
And you're going to see somebody who's been floating in that 6 range or that 7 range is going to scoot in there and scoop up the number 5 spot.
And I think a lot of people were surprised this year because there were only 6 events. So, I mean, you really had to be you had to be careful how you did on every event. Every event counted more, because normally you have 7 or 8 events during regionals. You know, normally there's that one, you know, lifting event, that max lift that, or that, you know, heavier lift. This year there wasn't that. You had less events, so you had less time to make up room. Probably the big story from this past weekend was Ben. Was, you know, I mean, he finished, I think after day one he was tied for 19th, maybe like 40-something points back, which everyone was like, oh, he finished, he's tied for 19th, he's out of it completely. But you look at the scoreboard, and I was just like, he's only 40-something points back of 5th place of qualifying. And I was like, why are people so worried?
Well, I think it's just that people aren't used to seeing him. People are not used to seeing
true.
Him that far back.
Yeah.
And I was working a seminar, so like during some of the breaks or during lunch, everybody was like, oh, my God, he finished 19th. And
right.
I said, well, you know, he doesn't have 5 events left. He's got 4. And I said, he's definitely not out of it.
Yeah.
And I think Saturday night somebody asked me, they're like, what do you think? And I said, well, he needs to – he's going to have to, out of the next 4 events, he's going to have to take 3 top 5 finishes, which is literally exactly what he did.
Right, yeah.
And I said, the way the points work, if he does that, he's going to make up a ton of ground.
For sure.
And he's like a lot of his other athletes, where I don't think they're putting all their eggs in the regional. I think they show up there prepared, but I think he's got enough fitness in the bank where like he can show up not at his peak.
Right.
And still make his way to Madison.
For
where
sure.
there are some other folks that are on the cusp where they legitimately need to peak that weekend
right, yeah.
and be in that prime time state of fitness in order to compete at that level. You know, there's some guys at this point who have a little bit more experience, more mature. They don't necessarily need to be there physically or maybe even mentally.
Right.
But you do need to be performing at a very, very high level. You know, it's the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Of any other sport. You don't necessarily need to peak, but like you need to be Pistons need to be firing at like 95%.
Right.
But game day, Madison is where that's the Super Bowl.
And I think a lot of people, you know, I look back to 2 years ago when he won it. He got 4th place at regionals. I think everyone, he was right there on the cusp. I think there was only a couple points, and he went into that. It was the muscle up, the speed, clean ladder. You know, and just killed that event. I think a lot of people kind of were surprised by that, especially just with the competition that was in that. But he obviously is no, you know, stranger to moving a barbell pretty quick. But, you know, I think the years, and he talks about it all the time too. Like, he gets ready for the regionals probably a little bit. He's going to still put the work in. It's still going to put, but you know, he's won the games. I don't think there's as much pressure on him. You know, obviously he wants to make it back. Obviously, if you don't want to make it to the games, if you don't want to win the games, why the heck are you even at regionals if you're, you know, not wanting to do that? But, you know, at the same time, you said, for the Open, he doesn't care if he wins the Open.
It doesn't matter.
Right. At regionals, he doesn't care if he wins regionals. It just so happens that he has won regionals before in the past, tons of times.
There's no reward for winning regionals other than punching your ticket to the next level.
Right.
Like, you don't get anything from it. You only get something if you win the games.
Right.
Just like there's no reward for winning by more points.
True.
In the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares if you won by 60 or if you won by one.
Right.
If you win, that's all that matters. Just like, it's just, you know, win in advance. And at some point it just becomes just win.
Definitely.
And that's all that you need to do.
So when you looked at the program, when it was, you know, announced, obviously you said that, you know, if you look back on CrossFit's website, they used the dumbbells. And obviously dumbbells were used for the first time in the Open. A lot of people were kind of surprised by that, but you know, honestly, I didn't really see a big surprise. There's obviously a big shuffle of people saying, "Oh, we need to get dumbbells because we didn't have enough." But when you are your gym owner, you're thinking about kind of getting yourself prepared for the future. Now that dumbbells have been at regionals as the only really weighted things, and of course those 150-pound kettlebells, but. Talk to us about kind of as a business owner getting ready for the Open and, you know, buying all those dumbbells and stuff like that where you don't know if you're going to use them in the future or not.
Well, we didn't have, and we had been discussing, it's funny, we were using dumbbells a lot.
So yeah.
If you go back and look at our programming before the Open even started, it was kind of a discussion in the staff, like our members to some extent were almost like complaining about the use of dumbbells. And I have this discussion quite a bit with some of my athletes is that people don't like dumbbells because, number one, they're not sexy.
Right.
Nobody's posting dumbbell workouts on Instagram.
True.
And they're harder. Like managing two objects, and you can go back to and reference Coach Glassman's, you know, videos and articles. Managing two objects versus managing one will always be neurologically more demanding.
Yeah.
Always. It doesn't matter if they're lighter, heavier, whatever. It's harder, and that's why people don't like them. And nobody likes anything that's not what they're used to and that ups the difficulty level and exposes some things that they're not good at. Like, you know, there's some things that we might not find about your overhead mobility with a barbell versus dumbbells. That we might find out that you have an imbalance in your right arm versus your left arm if I give you a dumbbell. But those things shouldn't be avoided. And truly what I hope that is taken away from a lot of this stuff is not so much like the Open or the games or the regionals, but it's that you now have more tools in your affiliate to make better athletes, to create somebody that is more functional when they left your gym than when they came in. So I think they're underutilized. We honestly were short, but we still programmed them in, but we didn't have enough. Now we have enough.
Yeah.
And we use them a lot. The other thing that is incredibly valuable about dumbbells is, and again, I hope this is what people take away from it, is that this just opens up a whole nother realm of scaling, modifying movements, giving athletes the ability to do more in instances where they're injured or they have some, you know, something going on when a barbell is just not an option. Now, the answer is not, oh, well, I can't do the workout because I have whatever in my left shoulder. Well, your right arm's fine, so let's do the same movement with one dumbbell.
Right.
And we can still get the intended stimulus of the workout. So I think, I really, really hope that that's what people take away is that this, and if you've seen CrossFit just came out with a dumbbell course, it's a one-day course that Boz is going to put on, and I think it's probably going to be an excellent course because people just fundamentally don't recognize the value of the dumbbells.
Yeah.
And it's one of the oldest. I mean, like, people have been using dumbbells forever,
right?
But just not in
CrossFit. Right.
You know, because everybody gravitated to the barbell because you could put more weight on there. But if you don't think they're good, cool. Then, you know, do Fran with a barbell and then do Fran with 245 dumbbells, pound dumbbells, and tell me what the time difference is.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be the same.
Oh, for sure. I think a lot of people kind of say about the programming, and obviously it's getting a lot of flack because of all the injuries that we've seen. We're going to touch on that next. We're talking to Jason Fernandez, and Castro kind of came out with a statement on week two and just kind of said about – kind of exposes the weakness of people and kind of exposes of what they are and aren't doing in terms of training. What this year, and I don't know if there were more injuries, but there were more of the same injuries this year. A lot of pec tears, a lot of pec strains, a lot of focus toward the pec muscle after event two. Talk to us about your thoughts on the injuries and how do you think they could have been avoided? Kind of give us your thoughts on that.
I think there's so many variables in there, and you know, obviously everybody's an expert now on pec tears and the ring dip and you know, internal external rotation of the shoulder. Like, it's a little ridiculous at this point. Everything is speculation. There's only a couple things you could do to really narrow this down. You'd have to test everybody for PED use because pec tears are usually that is something that can be associated with that. The other thing, this is purely speculation on my part, is I think there's probably a lot of athletes who were not doing any ring dip work outside of like muscle ups.
For sure.
So regionals came up and they did a full year's worth of ring dips
leading up
to the regionals,
right,
which led to, you know, probably some breakdown in technique, some weakness. And, you know, so to some extent, it's really not that surprising.
Right. Yeah.
Because if you look at, I mean, we could just go back and look at people's, you know, Instagram accounts and like how many days are they putting ring dips in there?
True.
And if you're telling me that the only time you did ring dips was in muscle ups and all of your programming, I mean, we talk about this in the level one course. Like, you fail at the margins of your experience. And if you're going to try to catch up on 12 months of training in 4 weeks,
right,
that is not going to go well for you.
Yeah.
So, again, that's just speculation on my part. I don't have anything to back that up. It's just from what I've observed via social media and talking to people about programming. Is it weird that it happened to more males than females? Sure. But is that surprising? Not really. Guys can move faster on the ring dips. It's generally a weakness for more females than it is for males. Did the weight vest have anything to do with it?
On event one,
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, I don't know. Is it weird? Is the number pretty high and make you kind of scratch your head? Sure.
See,
but I don't necessarily think that makes it bad programming.
Yeah, see, I think that like a lot of people, obviously the first thing that you're going to jump to is the whole PED, the whole, you know, obviously if they're, you know, if that's happening, then they're doing something. And obviously that's going to bring up the subject that I think people have been talking about for a long time when it comes to CrossFit. Is there drug use in CrossFit? Is there performance-enhancing drugs in CrossFit? That's a topic for a different day. But I think when it comes to just this regional, you had a lot of, like you just said, you had a lot of people that may never have done a weighted handstand pushup in their life. So they were doing a lot of weighted handstand pushups leading up, and they were doing a lot of ring dips. That two combination back-to-back, and yes, you know, you can say that, yeah, it's not a good idea. It's, you know, whatever. I mean, people can, obviously, hindsight's 20/20. Everyone's a armchair quarterback in terms of the way that you can program. But it did expose a weakness in CrossFit, no doubt in my mind. And you saw, and the thing that kind of stuck out to me was everyone's like, oh, well, these athletes are getting big. These are, you know, these athletes are getting hurt. But then you see an athlete like Matt Frazier, who didn't get hurt. The fittest man in the world didn't get hurt. Ben Smith didn't get hurt. You know, these other athletes that are some of the top athletes in the world, you didn't see them get hurt. But why is that? You know, obviously, you know, they weren't. But like you see, it takes, you know, a couple of people, big name athletes. Christian Lucero pops to mind because he was in first place in the California regional. Dan Bailey is probably the biggest name.
Yeah.
Just because of who he is, his placement at the games the last, you know, decade. I mean, he's been around forever.
Yeah, and I mean, but at the same time, like, there's been videos of Dan on CrossFit.com doing ring dip, and I'm pretty sure weight vest ring dips,
right?
Like that was programmed in .com. So it's, you know, like sometimes accidents just happen.
Exactly.
There's no avoiding that. And I think at that level, you know, I played college basketball. The odds of you getting hurt playing college basketball are damn near 100%.
Yeah.
Like it's going to happen at some point. And CrossFit athletes are no different. At that level, at some point, you are going to sustain an injury because you are chasing the best. You're trying to reach the pinnacle of a sport. And that, and in doing that, it is impossible to remove all risk. Mm-hmm. Like, you just can't, it can't be done. Like, just like in any sport, CrossFit's no different. And the discussion that's not being had is that it is now a sport. Injuries are going to happen. Nobody's talking about football is dangerous when somebody has a non-contact ACL tear
right.
when they cut and play football.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh my God, we shouldn't play football anymore. It's a sport. These athletes are beating their bodies up all yeah. year long. Injuries are going to happen.
For
Everybody
sure.
needs to just take a step back, calm down,
yeah.
and understand that that is part of sport, particularly part of professional sport.
Yeah. I think a lot of people, one of the biggest kind of comparisons that I saw was a sprinter, like an Olympic sprinter. They pull their hamstrings literally all the time.
All like, the time.
You see it happen all the time. You see people, some of the top athletes, some of the top sprinters in the world having to pull out of races because they either pull their hamstring in a workout, you know, in a race, in a prelim or whatever. And, you know, these guys are, I'd say it's kind of like they have to go through a qualifying process. Mm-hmm. In a couple of days, they may run as fast as they can, literally three or four times.
Yeah,
but no one is saying, "Oh,
shouldn't sprint."
Right? You shouldn't sprint. They need to be checked out. But when something happens, I think it's obviously, you know, CrossFit's the thing to rag on. It's everyone's own biggest critic, and you know, everyone's Dave Castro's biggest critic if it's not what they want to do. It came out with Murph last year when it was reprogrammed. I don't think you had any athlete complain about Murph being reprogrammed back into the cross. If anything, they were excited about it. We talked about that.
They were all excited. They got to redeem themselves, and they all did better. And realistically, that's kind of Dave's job, and I think he would acknowledge that, is to make people acknowledge those gaps.
Yeah.
And the error that I see when people are programming is, especially when we're talking about high-level athletes. So if you have an athlete who's trying to make it to the games and they're doing their own programming, or you have a coach who's programming for somebody to try to go to the games or to regionals or whatever, everybody's looking back.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a smart thing to do. You should be looking back. Okay, these are the tests that we've had so far. But then what people are doing is they're training to the tests that we've had in the past.
Right.
So they're like, well, I have to do this and I have to do this. And arguably, you should do those and test them and retest them to see if you have any noticeable improvement in your fitness. But what I see a lot, I see far less of, and again, I don't see all of it, but you can see a fair bit of it if you just pay a little bit of attention on Instagram and look at some training protocols. They're not changing at what happened in the past. They're not modifying.
Right.
They're not doing some of those workouts weighted. They're not changing the rep schemes. They're just trying to get good at what happened in the past. And at this point, you should know there will be some repeat things.
Yeah.
But for the most part, they're going to make it more difficult.
For sure.
So if you're not training past that, then that's a mistake. I also think if you look at this year's workouts, what I noticed was there was a shift into what I think was dial back on the volume,
mm-hmm.
and dial up the intensity.
For sure.
There was nothing in that regional, in my mind, for the top athletes, we'll call it the top half of the field, the top 20,
yeah,
that required them to slow down other than where they were at psychologically.
Right.
The weights weren't that heavy. The movements should all be doable.
Right.
So whether you won or lost was solely based on like your ability to go to the dark place.
Definitely.
You know, like, were you training that or were you not? And so that leads into a bigger discussion about what is your daily training protocol? Are you prioritizing volume over intensity?
For sure.
And if you're hitting six workouts a day at 60%, then guess what? On game day, when all of the workouts are literally designed around like laying the throttle down as hard as you can,
right,
you're not going to do well. But if you prioritize intensity and are not so concerned with volume, but hitting the workouts as hard as you can, I would argue those athletes are going to do better on game day.
Yeah. Did you ever, you know, kind of look at regionals, and you've seen the evolution of regionals and the games over the last, this year, the games gets moved to a different area, a different part of the country. You're not really sure what, it's really the unknown and unknowable this year more than any other year, I think, in years past, because one reason, you're not in California anymore, so you don't know what the weather's going to be like. And that's just, you know, that's just in general. It's probably going to be a little bit cooler up in Wisconsin, possibly.
I mean, Wisconsin gets all four seasons. Like, it'll be summer, it'll be hot. Yeah, it may rain. You know, that's a far less likely scenario than in California. But if it rains, I would imagine they're prepared for that.
Right. You know? What kind of things do you think Castro, and obviously no one really knows what goes on in Castro's mind except for Dave Castro, and I think even his closest, you know, Pat Sherwood and all those guys that work with him on programming and all that stuff, they probably don't even know what's going on in his mind. But what kind of things do you think he could throw out being in a different location, being in a different area, not being on the coast of California?
I don't think we'll see anything like super new.
Yeah.
I think you'll see some changes. My bet is I would take this to Vegas and put it down as like, we're going to see the return of something we haven't seen in years. But I think athletes will be getting on a bike.
Okay, I can see that.
There's a ton of trails in Madison. Right. If you look at the lay, if you look at the landscape there, CrossFit just released the CrossFit bike.
Yeah.
So, again, if you kind of pay attention, you could make some reasonable assumptions. The athletes will probably get in the water.
Right.
You know, it'll be easier for a lot of the athletes who struggle in open ocean. Now we don't have to worry about the surf. We don't have to worry about current. They can just get in and swim. See, but outside of that, I think it's just going to be CrossFit, man. You know?
I would love to see another triathlon. I thought that was very cool a few years ago, or I think it was 3 or 4 years ago when they did it at Pendleton and did the triathlon there. Obviously, there was...
Madison would be the place to do it, honestly.
Right. I mean, and like you were saying, you know, having all those trails, you could do pretty much like a trail triathlon where they have to, you know, they bike all the trails, they run the trails, and you got the lake there. So, I mean, you could get creative with it. And it was a very cool event. And obviously, we couldn't see it. I don't think they had like a video stream just because they were on Pendleton when it happened. But I remember listening to it. And I mean, I think that was one of the coolest events that they've had. Because if you look at a triathlon, that's pretty much, that's fitness defined. You see, you know, some athletes and you see these people doing the Ironmans and training for triathlons. It is nuts what they can do. And then you go out and try to even do a fraction of what they've been doing in terms of training, and it kicks you in the butt.
Well, that's just because most people avoid those things. So those triathletes they're fit in three specific modalities. So, you know, swimming, biking, running.
Yeah.
Most like hardcore full triathletes, Ironman, are not, at least by CrossFit's definition, what we would consider fit.
Because
if you just look at their physical stature, most of them are not strong. They can go for a really long time.
Yeah.
And that's what they want to do. And there's nothing wrong with that capacity. But by CrossFit's definition, we're just saying that they're not fit. They're just really good at their thing.
Right.
And that's cool. I think sprints triathlons are really cool because if you're pretty fit, you can hit that distance pretty hard. Like on the long end, it would take you 2 hours.
Yeah.
To cover the swim, the bike, and the run. And I think most CrossFit athletes could probably hammer that in an hour 30, an
for
hour
sure.
40, maybe even a little faster, depending on like the swim course.
Right.
You know, elevation change, things like that. I think once you take the distances out a little farther than that, now you're really talking about a specialist. You're talking about somebody who spends the vast majority of their time training, you know, in that aerobic, you know, energy pathway.
Definitely. Well, when you look at, you know, last couple of questions, you were talking to Fern from CrossFit Rife. When you think of it as a programming standpoint, and this year at regionals, we saw something completely different. We saw some, you know, sandbags. We saw some super heavy kettlebells that we haven't seen since the 2015 CrossFit Games when they had this the 200-pound kettlebells.
Yep.
Which I think Ben said was probably the worst thing he's ever done was lift those things up. I think he was saying probably like a month after, he was like, my back still hurts from lifting those up.
I picked him up when we were resetting the course, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, and I was fresh, and that was a max effort for me.
Right,
I couldn't
yeah.
imagine like getting off the bike and yeah. doing all the other stuff they did before that. Like, my back would have broken.
After,
so, yeah.
And that was the last event.
Yeah,
like after
15 events
weekend,
later, yeah,
right? Exactly.
That would have been a no go for me at that point. So,
but do you see anything? You know, do you see ever? And this is kind of obviously, we never know what Dave Cash was going to throw. But do you see in any type of thing where there's no barbell at the CrossFit Games? Could you see it?
I could. I don't think they're going to, but I could see it purely based on the fact that I believe that they would do it because people don't think they would do it.
Right.
And they would just be like, yeah, we're stop hammering the barbell. You know, it goes back to if you look at the definition of CrossFit, if you look at the definition of fitness, and then in those fundamental questions that we talk about in the seminars over the weekends is like, how much flexibility do you need? Well, enough to crease the area under the curve that is your fitness. How much strength do you need? Well, you need enough to increase the area under the curve that is your fitness.
Right.
So, you know, how strong do you need to be? Like, how big does your back squat need to be before we start robbing from those other 10 general physical skills and those other capacities? You know, and I would argue that there's a lot of athletes that are doing that. They're legitimately too strong,
mm-hmm.
based on the definition, CrossFit's definition of fitness. Like, you lift a lot of weights, and I'm not even saying it's wrong. Like, if you like to lift weights, great, knock yourself out. But if you're going to say that being that strong makes you the fittest, statistically that you'll be proven wrong,
right?
Because you've robbed Peter to pay Paul. And it is what it is. Like, it's an objective conversation based on, you know, increased work capacity across broad times and modal domains. And he or she who is fittest across all of those time domains and mm-hmm. all of those modalities statistically is the fittest. And if you spend 70% of your time on a barbell and all of a sudden we change it to a dumbbell, you probably won't do so well.
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, I think I saw somewhere where Boz suggested to Dave that they literally do 2016 regional,
mm-hmm.
the exact same workouts, but all dumbbells.
Hmm. Yeah.
So, like, just do the exact same workouts and let's just get a comparison. Let's compare the data points.
For sure.
Because you should be able to argue that everybody's fitter a year later having another full year of training underneath their belt. But what does the dumbbell do to that equation? It changes it dramatically. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I wouldn't be like, oh my God, I can't believe they did that. I'd be like, well, yeah, I could see it.
Right.
You know?
And you brought up a good point earlier about Fran, you know, doing it with 95 pounds and
gross.
Then even doing it with,
it's gross,
you know, with 90 pounds total, but 45 pound dumbbells. I can guarantee you people wouldn't be doing it faster than they would. I mean, you may have,
especially not if you've been ignoring dumbbells.
Exactly. And I think, you know, that's probably the biggest thing. I could see dumbbell thrusters. And I think a lot of people thought, I think that was probably the biggest prediction that people thought they were going to see in the open, mm-hmm. was dumbbell thrusters once they came out. And I was like, I sure hope not, because 50 pounds dumbbell thrusters,
so gross.
Absolutely awful.
45 pound dumbbells are more than enough to take down the top athlete in most gyms.
For sure.
Most gyms. Like, if you think that you're, you know, super fit for 1 month, I would tell you to just replace every barbell movement with 40 or 50 pound dumbbells.
Yeah.
And tell me how that goes.
Right.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's super gross. So.
Yeah, it's not fun at all.
It just changed the dynamic, and it requires so much more concentration on your movement,
right,
to do that. And then again, now you're challenging single limbs where you're, if you, a lot, there's a lot of people that have imbalances in their physical structure, and you can largely avoid that with a barbell.
Right.
With dumbbells, you get exposed, and you get exposed really quickly.
Right.
So again, going back to my statement earlier, like I hope people see this as an opportunity to do better for their members and do better for their athletes, because there's so much to be gained there from a whole host of different kind of ideas, meaning it's a fantastic scaling tool. It's a fantastic tool for just increasing general work capacity and changing, it's still a weightlifting modality, but still changing the accoutrement that we use. Like, you always use a barbell, change it to a dumbbell.
Right. Like,
there's no reason not to, other than you just don't like it.
Right.
And if that's what you're telling yourself, I would argue that's the exact reason that you should be doing
right.
it, because you don't like it. And you don't like it because you're either A, not good at it, or B, it sucks more. And both of those are the exact reason you should be doing it.
Yeah. And I mean, people can't, they can't be afraid of dumbbells now. Their dumbbells aren't just for bicep curls.
No.
Or dumbbell rows or anything like that. They can be used in functional fitness, and we saw this past weekend.
They can be used for everything that a barbell can be used for. And arguably the other way, you cannot do all of the same things with a barbell that you can do with a dumbbell.
Yeah.
I can't do a lot of one-arm overhead work with a barbell.
Right.
You might be able to do some stuff. Like, okay, you could do a Turkish get-up with a barbell. But
yeah.
I can't do push press.
Right.
Realistically, I can't do, it's just, you can't do it. So, and the reality is that dumbbells have far more functionality
for sure
than the barbell does.
Right, yeah.
And it's much more indicative of what you would find when you left the right. walls of the gym. So, I think if people take a step back and really start to evaluate the utility of dumbbells, you would be foolish to not buy more.
Definitely.
You know, and the kettlebell falls in the same,
exactly,
in the same
right.
category. So,
well, Fern, thanks so much for kind of shining light on your opinions about programming, regionals, all the injuries and all that stuff. We appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Always appreciate you coming on.
Dude, love being on the show, man.
And we'll have you back soon.
Thanks, brother.